good morning. Good to see each and every one of you on this back to the winter weather day. My wife is the only one in the church that prayed for snow and is happy that it came.
Hey.
Now, I do enjoy the snow. I actually enjoy it better on the weekends when I don't have to slop around at work. So, but I'm glad everyone here made it here safely. We didn't have any ice or anything like that. But we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, to be in church. Lord, to be around our eternal family, Lord. Those that we're going to spend eternity praising you with, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the people you've placed here. Lord, I pray that you use this church to reach Catasauqua and the surrounding areas with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you would help us to go forward in unity, that you'd give a vision to our pastor, that we'd get behind it, that we'd go forward, Lord, just with our entire goal is just to do your will until you come. Lord, I'm thankful for the people here, Lord, and this morning I come to you with a heavy heart, Lord, and I want to lift up to you our brother Craig. Lord, dealing with some health issues here, and it seems like a bunch lately, and the doctors don't have many answers, Lord, but we're thankful that we have the great physician. Lord, and if you're willing, you'd be able to just reach down from heaven and touch him and heal his body, Lord. Lord, and we'd ask that you do that. Lord, if your will be otherwise, Lord, I pray that you would give us comfort, especially to his wife and to him. Lord, help them to lean on you and walk with you, Lord, and that you would just give them answers along the way, that you'd guide them, that you'd direct them, Lord, that you'd give them a peace. Lord, but we lift him up to you this morning, Lord. We love him. When one of the members here is missing, Lord, we all feel it, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, and I know that you love him. We just give him to you, place him in your hands, Lord, and we ask that you would please, Lord, heal him, Lord, and comfort him. Lord, I pray in this church service this morning that you would deal with hearts. Help us all to be attentive to your word. Help us to listen with a tender heart, Lord. And I pray that your word would penetrate us, Lord, and it would cause us to draw closer to you, Lord, and to be more focused on doing your will every day. Lord, help us to lay aside this world and everything in it, Lord, and go forward 100% serving you with everything we have. Lord, help us to have a burden for the lost in this community and beyond. Lord, and that we'd be willing to speak boldly about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for loving us, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you'll do in this service this morning. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, turn with me to page 386. If you're willing and able, I'd ask you please stand and sing Revive Us Again. Page 386.
Yeah.
342. Only a sinner.
Oh, could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." Upon his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
Hey.
Amen. I'm glad I know the Lamb of God. I'm glad that he suffered, bled, and died for my sins in order for me to have a right relationship with the Father. Amen. So, Lord willing, here this morning, I'd like to try to continue on in our study referring to the tabernacle, the house of God, and how it applies in a physical sense and then also in a spiritual. And as we look through the kings of Judah in the Old Testament, if you take your Bible and this morning, look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter number 7 and verse number 13. Thank you, brother, for that special. I'm glad that we can sing out to the Lord this morning. And take your Bible, though, and look at 2 Samuel chapter 7 here. Verse number 13, 2 Samuel verse 13. 2 Samuel 7 verse 13 says, "And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity this morning. Thank you for your word, dear God. Lord, I pray you just help us now. Lord, I pray you'd give what's needed, dear God. I pray you clear our minds and our hearts, dear Lord. Open our eyes and ears to receive what you'd have us to receive, dear God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, dear God, be acceptable to you, Lord. And you just give what's needed. And Lord, help us now, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The Bible says here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13, that referring to the house of God, that he shall build a house for my name. Now, we've been looking through here regarding the purpose of the tabernacle or the temple in particular, the purpose of the temple, the pattern of the temple, the preparation for it, and then also once you have those three, then you need to have the performance, okay? And we're closing up here on the purpose, and one of the purposes of the tabernacle or the temple, and one of the purposes of us after we're saved is to glorify and worship and praise God. Second thing is we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying without ceasing for one another and for the needs that come across our lives. But the third thing here I want to look at this morning, along with the fourth, is that temple was a place for the name of God. 2 Samuel 7:13 says, "And he shall build a house for what? For my name." The name of the Lord dwelt and was there for that temple. It was for his namesake that it was built. The Bible says in 1 Kings 5:5, "And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name." The name of God. So when you would come into that temple, you knew why and who you were coming to worship. You were coming to worship the true God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator God. When you come, or they did come there in the Old Testament to bring a sacrifice, they knew that they were bringing it to the true God, the great I Am. And it was for his name that it was built, and it was to give him glory, him praise, and him honor. 1 Kings 8, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name." All right? So, why could or would there be a division or contentions within a church? So I'm going to look at something. Take your Bible and look over at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Now, sometimes there will be divisions and you don't want it to happen. But why sometimes do churches struggle or go through situations or have issues within a church? A lot of times it's because there's a division. Well, why do those divisions happen? You know, shouldn't we all come together with the same purpose? Oh, I hope we all come here with the same motive and the same mind and the same heart. Because this is, and understand, I know people get technical sometimes, but this building is the church house. It's the house of the Lord. And I know some will get technical and say, well, we're the house of God. I get that. I understand that. But people in the world look at a church as the place where you're to meet with God. Well, a reason why this place is not packed out this morning is because of what it represents. It represents Jesus Christ. It represents the Creator. It represents the Bible, which most people want nothing to do with. So people driving by, when they look at a church, they know what a church is supposed to be. It's a place where you're supposed to meet with God. Now, whether that's the case or not, that's another subject. But individuals out here, especially in America, they know what, I believe some do, what a church stands for. And it stands for God. It stands for his name. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10. This is where a church, a physical church with members in it, can run into issues and problems. Okay? Run into spiritual problems. And I believe Paul saw it happening at the church of Corinth. Brethren, to be honest, you read through Corinthians, for lack of better words, the church at Corinth was a dumpster fire. It was a mess. It was a mess. You had a brother in there having relations with his daddy's wife. They were arguing about spiritual gifts. There was contentions. You had believers suing other believers. It was a mess. But look at one of the reasons I believe from the very beginning Paul writes this letter. Look why I think one of the reasons it was a mess. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak what? The same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Same mind, same judgment. Perfectly joined together as the body of Christ. We're just one part of the body, a local gathering of believers. But can you imagine just even in this local gathering of believers, if it represented a body, a full body, and we had the back quarter over there wanted to go with this way because they were the left hand. This quarter up here is the right leg and they're wanting to go this way. That quarter over there is this hand and they're wanting to go this way. And this side over here it wants to go that way. But that's what we represent as a corporate body of believers in a church. The Bible says we're to be of one mind, strive together perfectly and in unison. If we're running a race, it'd be kind of hard to run a race when this leg's wanting to go that way and this leg's wanting to go this way. And that's what hinders a church. That's where you lack power in a church because you have divisions in a church because it's not of the same mind. It's not in one accord. The church as a whole is not striving together for the cause of Christ. Look what it says next in verse number 11. Paul says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Paul gets word from the house of Chloe. I don't know how he got word, but somebody in the house of Chloe wrote him a letter or somehow got word to him saying, "Hey, Paul, we got issues here in our church. Paul, when you come by, you help us set up this church. But Paul, we got contentions. We got problems, Paul, and we need help." There was somehow, some way the brethren of the household of Chloe got a hold of Paul and said, "There are contentions among you." Verse 12. What were the contentions? We're going to find out. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Paul says, listen, you got this letter comes to him. Somehow he gets this information. I don't know how he gets it from the household of Chloe that there's contentions. What are the contentions? You got one group over here saying, "Well, I'm a Paul." You got that group back there saying, I'm a Apollos. This group over here says, "Oh, I'm a Cephas." And this group over here says, "Well, we're of Christ." You got four different factions in a church. "Well, I follow Paul. I follow his teachings." "Well, yeah, right. Well, I follow Cephas and his teachings." "Well, I follow Apollos. He was better than Paul and Peter." "Well, I follow Christ. He's my Savior. He's better than all three of y'all. I'm the only one living for Christ. You all living for men." And there's contentions in the church because the church is looking at a man rather than a Savior. You see, Ray Street, understand what I'm saying this morning? Ray Street Baptist Church, and I believe this man would say, I would hope he would back me up on this. This church would have or should have or never been or never hope will be about Gary Freeman. This is not Gary Freeman's church. And if it is in your mind that it's Gary Freeman's church, then you're on the wrong track. And I believe Pastor Gary Freeman would agree with me on this. This church is the church of Jesus Christ. You see, you run into issues and contentions and problems and divisions when you follow a man rather than following God. This is not my church. God's just brought me here, put me here as the pastor, as the shepherd. But you're not, and it's, please understand what I'm saying. I know Paul says, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." But this is not my ministry. It doesn't revolve around me. It revolves around Christ. And what does Christ Jesus want for Ray Street Baptist Church? And hopefully I'll put that forward, and hopefully you'll get a hold of it as well as you spend time with the Lord and I try to spend time with the Lord. And then we all get on the same boat and we all start paddling the same way. You see, it's not about Chris Welton. It's not about Gary Freeman. It's not about whatever other pastor or teacher it is out there. It's about Jesus Christ. That he may have the what? Preeminence. A lot of churches get into trouble because they start following and worshiping a man rather than worshiping God. And you get this nonsense in a lot of churches today. Well, I'm the man of God. Yeah, brother, shake your head. That's right. Exactly right. Nonsense. Well, I'm the man of God. You better sit down, sir. You're a minister. You're a servant, just like our Savior was. What nonsense. But you know how you get there? Individuals start following a man. Well, I'm going to this church because this preacher's there, and that's why I'm going to this church. You ought to be going to church you're going to because God's told you to be there. I'll say that again. I believe that. Once you get saved, I believe God has a church for you. You need to figure. You say, well, I don't know where it's at. Well, you better figure out where it's at, and you better get there. Well, it's halfway across the country. Well, you better sell what you got, pray, and help God, ask God to help you get there. Because if that's where God wants you, that's where you need to be. Brethren, I didn't come up here because I wanted to come up here. Understand what I'm saying? I'm up here because God brought me here. I went to the Dominican Republic not because I just wanted to go to the Dominican Republic, because God allowed me and brought me and put me there. And then he pulled me back out. And then he put me here. And then he put me there. Why? Because I'm following the Lord, not a man. I'm following Jesus Christ. But you see, you start to get divisions, you start to get contentions, you start to get trouble when individuals, Paul says it, he had groups of people there saying, well, I follow him. Well, no, I follow him. Well, I'm of this one. And Paul says in verse 13, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Imagine what true Bible believers could do for this country if true Bible believers were united. Well, he's not going to preach in my pulpit because he's got wire-rimmed glasses. Yeah? Well, he's not going to preach in my pulpit because he wears colored shirts with his ties. Really? Are we that vain? Well, my church, you ain't going to preach in my pulpit unless you wear a white shirt. You're not going to preach in my pulpit because you got a beard or you don't have a beard. Please show me that where it's in the Bible. Please. Please show me in the Bible. And I know anyway in this church. But I've been around a couple churches, around a few Bible-believing brethren. And it's like, it's so petty. And we wonder why America's gone the way it's gone. It starts with the church. The church has dropped the ball. The church has dropped it. Now look, I'm not talking about compromise now, and I'm not talking about sin. But I'm talking about, you ain't going to have a man preach because he's got a beard? I believe Jesus Christ had a beard. Actually, I don't believe it. I know he did because they plucked it out. I had one preacher one time say, he was so against beards, he said Jesus didn't have a beard. And when it was brought to him that they plucked out, he said it was his eyebrows. I can't even talk to you no more. They didn't pluck out Jesus' eyebrows. They plucked off his beard. But you see how petty. You see, you have individual. Look. They ain't going to preach in my pulpit if you use a computer. Get that television out of your house. Now look, some things can be used as a tool, but they're dangerous tools in my opinion with some of it. I won't have a computer in my house. And then later on, hey, can you check my email for me? Let me know if I got it. For real? Preacher preaching against that, and then the next thing out of his mouth to somebody else in the church, hey, can you check my email? I thought you didn't have. Do you see what that does to other believers? It shows hypocrisy. It brings in confusion. Especially for young believers, because earlier I heard you preaching that, and now I'm finding out this. Well, which one's right? Brethren, it's all for Jesus Christ. It's all for his name's sake. This church should be in existence to bring glory and honor and magnify and lift up Jesus Christ. And that is the only one we ought to glory, magnify, and lift up and worship. And that's Jesus Christ. Not a man, not a ministry, Jesus Christ. Because our churches have gotten in trouble today because they started magnifying the man, they started magnifying the ministry, and they fell to pieces. the man gets lifted up and he feels like he becomes a god and he can lord himself over God's heritage. And then he gets such power in churches, especially over the youth, that he'll go and sleep with some of the young ladies in the church. Among some of our independent Baptist churches, the preacher ends up getting in trouble because he's doing things he ought not to be doing. Why? Because they lifted up the man rather than lifting up Jesus Christ. And no man can handle that and no woman can handle that. All glory belongs to God. Ain't no man can handle the glory. He'll fall flat on his face. I got tired at one point. I told one time, man, it would seem like church after church after church I was getting word of. The preachers come to find out he's cheated on his wife with some girl in the church or some teenager in the church because he used his power. That's wicked. God help us today in our churches to make it about Jesus Christ, to make it always about Jesus Christ. Take your Bible here and look at Philippians chapter 2. You know, the spiritual temple, we are the spiritual temple of God. And just as the name of the Lord was to be magnified with the physical temple, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ should be magnified in our spiritual temple, and even more so. Brethren, you are a walking temple of God. You are a walking temple of God. You represent Jesus Christ, because if you're saved, he's in you and you are in him. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Do you see that verse there, brethren? He made it, who? Jesus. Who is Jesus? He was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ was all God, and Jesus Christ became all man. Son of man, son of God. Jesus Christ. Brethren, the story you were telling me when you're talking about how the Lord was wrapped in swaddling clothes, there was a movie out there, and it was actually halfway decent, called The Nativity. And I remember watching that movie, and at the end there where Mary gives birth, and I still can't grasp. I couldn't imagine being Mary and knowing what she knew and realized, in my arms is the Creator. Think about that for a second. She was holding that little baby that spoke the worlds into existence. You want to talk about, just dwell on that for a little bit. She's holding God. The one that created her, she's the one now nourishing and feeding and changing his diaper and taking care of him and watching over him. God. Brethren, if he doesn't deserve all glory and honor and praise, I don't know who does. That he was willing to humble himself. And the Bible says here in Philippians, he made himself of no reputation. Now, brethren, carry that over now into the church. A man or a preacher ought never to lift up and build up his own reputation. That's one of those red flags to you realize that something's not right if it's all about the man. You know why? Because Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. Jesus Christ deflected no reputation, yet he was God. Verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Brethren, that's what we ought to be as the ministers of Jesus Christ. We ought to not make ourselves of a reputation and think that it revolves around us. Rather, we ought to make ourselves servants. Servants to one another and servants ultimately to our God. Do you see, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about the past. It's not about it's about Jesus Christ and us serving him as a body. Verse number 8. and being found in a fashion as a man. So you see, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. And verse number 8, the Bible says, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look what happens, though. Because he made himself of no reputation, because he was willing to become a servant, because he was willing to humble himself, even to the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him, look what it says, and given him a what? A name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. Listen, that's why it's so important to bow the knee now. Because someday individuals, they won't bow the knee now, they will bow the knee over there. Well, I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, you will someday. You're gonna bow that knee to him and you're going to confess that he's King of kings and Lord of lords. You will bow that knee. I won't bow that. Oh, yeah, you will bow that knee when my Lord says bow that knee. I'm sure God has a way of humbling some individuals down if they won't bow that knee. I mean, if we can come up with the idea of a taser, I'm sure God has his way of a stubborn individual that won't bow that knee. Why, though? Because he's been given a name that's above every name. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no name higher than the name of Jesus Christ. And guess what, brethren? You now represent, you now exhibit, you now put forth to the world by your life the name of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important, brethren, how we conduct ourselves. That's why it's so important, our attitudes. Brethren, if we murmur and complain, I don't like this. My potatoes are too cold. I ordered this, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, blah. And this over here. Brethren, you are representing Christ. You are representing the name of Jesus Christ. And by you doing that, you're saying that the Savior was the same way. If we get an attitude, or if we get, brethren, we are ambassadors. We represent the name of Jesus Christ. We are called by his name, and we're to do everything in the name of Jesus. When you, hopefully you pray for your food. You ought to. You ought to pray for your food every time you eat for it. But when we pray in the name of Jesus. Because we represent him. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name, take a Bible, look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But look at this next part. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do you see that? That's why I'm so hard on some individuals who continue to live in sin, yet name the name of Christ, and they get mad if you call them out. Who are you to call me out? The Bible says to call you out. Listen, if you name the name of Christ and you continue on in sin, you're not right. What the Bible says? And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Let it not be... Paul talks about not even let once be named among you. Brethren, you cannot continue to live in sin and name the name of Jesus, because you're bringing a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. And the world sees it. The world sees it. If you claim to be a Christian and you pull up and you're spending time at a bar, you're blaspheming the name of Christ. Yeah. And again, I said in the Sunday school hour, it just amazes me how the Lord puts across certain people in my life, and they observe individuals in this church. And they're lost individuals. Oh, you're part of that church. Oh, really? Oh, okay. My God amazes me. Brother, you better be careful where you go and who you spend time with and where you spend time with them, because the world's watching. And it's not good sometimes when people ask me, well, what church do you pastor? And I want to be careful of what church I tell them that I do pastor, because I don't want to be associated with some individuals, because it puts a bad name on this church. Do you see, brethren, where you go, who you spend time with, what you talk about reflects Ray Street Baptist Church. And if some of these things continue, I'm going to call them out by name, because I did it to these individuals who were asking me these questions. Because I did tell them I was a pastor, and I said, well, this ain't all so, and they understood. Brethren, you represent not only the name of Jesus Christ, you represent Ray Street Baptist Church. And it's not good when you go to talk to an individual and the first thing out of their mouth was, I thought you were going to yell at me. So that means to tell me that there was precedence beforehand that somebody from this church yelled at individuals or had that atmosphere, or had, what's the word I'm looking for, that reputation to yell because something wasn't being done the way it should be done. Do you see that reputation carries over into the community? Well, I ain't going to go to that church because they just yell at you about things. And I'm not talking about from preaching from the pulpit. I'm talking about things outside the pulpit. Listen, I don't ever want... Look, that parking lot is never be an issue. I'm going to tell it all here, and I'll tell every other member. If you ever come here and there's an issue with that parking lot, you call me up. You don't start rebuking people in that parking lot. You let me handle it. Because that parking lot has given us a bad reputation. Man, I'm honest. I'm just telling you. I'm coming in from an outsider. I spent the last 26 years in Charleston. But that parking lot out there, this community knows about that parking lot. And it's not a good reputation. And so I'm going behind trying to clean some things up. Brethren, what does the Bible say in Philippians? We are to be a servant. Now, I understand some legal issues. Well, the reason we do is because I get that, but ultimately we need to trust Jesus Christ. Brethren, we name the name that's above every name in this world and eternity in the universe, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And did not the Bible say that we are to be used? What if somebody uses us by using that parking lot? Is their soul not more valuable? What's more valuable? Oil on the parking lot and our parking lot getting a little dirty, or that individual's soul? Which one has more value, the parking lot or the soul? I say the soul. Why not be happy? My flesh wouldn't like that, but I realize there's a soul at stake. Brethren, I came up here the other day. My wife was in the car. My daughter was in the car. And there was somebody playing. And they ran like they were scared cockroaches because when they saw me pull up. And I went over and I had an opportunity to talk to them. I said, listen, you're all right. Don't worry about it. But I thought they looked like they thought I was going to take their head off because they were in the parking lot. God help us. God help us. God help us. Brother, I don't know what occurred for the last 44 years with some things. I have no idea. But there's some things I've had to come back around and clean up that ain't nobody out here sees about because of the reputation with some individuals about Ray Street Baptist Church. And I believe God sent me here. But brethren, we can have all the Bible knowledge in the world, but if we ain't got charity, we have nothing. We can quote scripture all day long, but if we don't live those scriptures, we have nothing. We represent Jesus Christ. We represent the God of gods. We represent the King of kings. We represent the Lord of lords. And if Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation, if Jesus Christ humbled himself to the even to the death of the cross, if Jesus Christ was willing to become a servant for you and for me, ought I not to do that for this lost world? Brethren, we're going to be held accountable. We're going to be held accountable for our attitudes. We are going to be held accountable for our attitudes. There's some, all I ever hear sometimes is complaining. Every time I talk to certain, everything is always a complaint about something. Is there not nothing to be thankful for in your life? Has nothing good happened in your life? Has not Jesus Christ done something for you this week? Brethren, we'll be held accountable for these things. And Jesus Christ and God takes, God is not very favorable to those that continue to always murmur and complain. How about we be thankful? You know what I'm going to say too? I'm thankful that there's some individuals here who will say amen every once in a while. I appreciate that. And we ought not to ever look at anybody else and say, well, you be quiet over there. God help us. God help us. Brethren, we wouldn't make it 10 seconds in a Jewish synagogue. We wouldn't make it 10 seconds with Orthodox Jews. They take up the Torah sometimes and they dance around and they're so happy because they have the Word of God. That's God's people. David was so happy that he got to bring that ark in. The Bible says he was dancing, throwing a good old time because he was able to bring that ark back into where it needed to be. Brethren, now I'm not talking about going charismatic. I'm not talking about that. There's a right balance. It's a right balance. Not too far to the right, not too from left, but I'm afraid our charismatic believers have stolen some things from us, or we've allowed it to be stolen. We think that if somebody raises their hand, that they're going charismatic. No, if somebody raises their hand, that's Bible. Actually, the Bible is, if we're praying, the men ought to be raising their hands. That's Bible. Without wrath and doubting. Sometimes I pray up here, hopefully you have your eyes closed, but if you happen to be looking around, I raise my hands when I'm praying. Because the Bible says that a man ought to raise his hands as he's praying without wrath and doubting. Lifting up holy hands. We are going, no, that's Bible. That is Bible, brethren. That is, Paul told Timothy that. That is Bible. That's not the Assemblies of God. That's not Kenneth Copeland. That's not the charismatic movement. That's Bible. And you know what this symbol, look, what does a police officer say if somebody's, put your hands up? I've said it many a time. Show me your hands. Put your hands up. And they start getting lazy. They start get your hands up. What does this show? Submission. You know why people, a lot of people won't raise their hands? They won't submit. Guess what happens when you're out? Let's say you're outside on a bright sunny day and that sun's just shining bright in your face. What do? When you get in the presence of Jesus and that thing starts shining, the Lord starts shining in, the hands ought to go up. Why? Because of who he is. I don't know why I'm talking about, because this ain't in my notes. It ain't in my notes. I had no intention to go down this road of raising hands. But you know one of the hardest things to do in church is raise your hand to God. Go ahead and try it. You'll have all the imps and devils of hell whispering in your ear, you're a fool. Don't do it. You look charismatic. Everybody's going to make fun of you. Blah, 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 blah. Why? Because there's something about lifting the hands up that shows submission. I know of an individual real close to me. I know of an individual that struggled for years. years. Brethren, there's power in some things, and I think sometimes we're too prideful. We're too prideful. We're too prideful. Do you think when you get to heaven, you think in heaven that there are any individuals that lift their hands to God? I believe there is. I believe in heaven it's not going to be like this. Just don't think so. I don't think in heaven it's going to be like this. I think in heaven it's going to be, worthy is the Lamb of God. Actually, I think it's probably going to be like this right here. Actually, I think it'll probably be like this right here. What happened with Daniel? He got in contact with an angel. He fell as if he was dead. That's just an angel. That's just Gabriel. Read about it in Daniel. When Gabriel comes to help Daniel, or the one of the princes come, which was an angel, come to help Daniel. The times Daniel comes in contact with an angel of God, he falls on his face flat as dead. What about John in the book of Revelation? When an angel's, what does he do? He wants to fall down and worship the angel because they're so magnificent and glorious. What about Jesus Christ? Think about that for a moment. If a mere man will fall down as dead with an angel, what would a mere man do with when he was in the presence of God? You see, I believe the number one thing that God hates is not murder. I don't think murder is the number one thing God hates. I don't think the number one thing that God hates is rape either. I don't think that's number one. I think the number one thing that God hates is pride. Because out of pride comes murder. Out of pride comes rape. Out of pride comes all the other sins because of pride. What is the devil? He is the father. He's a king of pride. Pride. The devil was lifted up and says, I will. I will. I will. I will. It was all about him. And see, brethren, when it starts getting to be all about us, we are in some way acting like the devil. Think about that now long and hard. Well, I'll tell him what I... You sound like somebody in Isaiah chapter 14. Well, I'll let... You better be careful. We represent his name. And as your pastor, I'll try to do my best to help you and help myself to get us to where we need to be, that we get home to heaven someday, we get home on the right track, doing the right things, that we're without spot, that we're without blame, that we're without no offense to Jesus Christ. Because we represent him. If you're saved and you name the name of Christ, you have a great responsibility upon you. Brethren, think about this morning. Let's say the President of the United States come in here, and I know a lot of people don't like him, but just bear with me for a second. And the President says, I want to appoint you as the ambassador to Spain. I want to appoint you, Brother Jr. I want to appoint you as the ambassador to the Philippines. I want to appoint you, Dan, as the ambassador to France. I want to appoint you, Brother Joe, as the ambassador to England. Number one, we ought to be honored. Number one, that we are even considered to be chosen as an ambassador for this wonderful country that we live in, the United States of America. What an honor it would be to represent your country in another country as you represent that nation. Hopefully you would go to that country and you would wear your suit and it would be pressed and your shoes would be shined and you would look your best. Your hair would be combed and you would have your notes together and you would be 30 minutes early because you represent the United States. When someone looks at you, they might have never been to the United States. When they see you, all they see is the U.S. of A. That's one of the reasons why, and I'll give props here to the Marine Corps. I love the Marine Corps. I love, and I was in the Air Force. But this is one thing. This is why I wanted to be a state trooper. I've always wanted to be the best of the best, and I could only go so far with it. But that was my desire. I always wanted to strive to be the best of whatever the best could be. And I always, always had a respect. And to this day, I love looking at, there is nothing sharper than a Marine in full dress uniform. Nothing sharper. Oh, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. And if they're inch, man, and that is the representation of the United States of America. And when an individual looks at that for another country, number one, it ought to put a fear in them. Like, this is what, they're this sharp, they're this detailed, they're this in shape, that we're going to think twice about fighting them. But I'll give you another branch, and I won't say the branch, but sometimes I'm like, I'm ashamed to even be around you because you're 50 pounds overweight, your uniform's all shabby, you ain't pressed it in weeks, your boots aren't shine. You think another country's going to be scared of that? No. They ain't going to have no respect for that. You get a Marine dressed up in full dress uniform walking in, and the silent drill team? If you ain't ever watched the Marine Corps silent drill team, look it up. Impressive. Impressive. No words, just silent, going through the motions with their rifles. Nothing like it. Precision. You don't think that puts the fear in some of these countries out there? See, we represent Jesus Christ. And if our clothes are all messed up and our shoes aren't shined and we ain't pressed our shirt in weeks and our hair's all messed up and we got broccoli in our teeth and we ain't scaring nobody. Do you see? We represent Christ. Now, I'm not saying you got to be a dress uniform as we go out here to the grocery store. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually sharp. Spiritually detailed. Brethren, you take the army, and it's the armies that the army watches the tomb of the unknown soldier. Some of you have been there. They take exactly 21 steps, pause for, I believe, 21 seconds, turn. They got a rhythm and a thing they go through to guard a tomb of an unknown soldier. How much emphasis should we place for our Savior? Do you see? Do you see, brethren? What man will put honor on that in some ways I believe deserves honor, but what about Jesus? Is not Jesus better than the tomb of the unknown soldier? Yeah, he's your Savior. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they spend 8 hours a day just on their uniform for, I believe, a 30-minute watch. If I'm not mistaken, it's 30 minutes. 8 hours for a uniform that will only be seen for 30 minutes. Brethren, think about your spiritual life. We represent the name of Jesus Christ. And with attention and detail and precision that a soldier will place on his uniform and on his duty, we as soldiers of Jesus Christ ought to place the same emphasis for our Savior. It takes what, though? It takes discipline. It takes discipline. It's not easy. It takes the eye of faith. Just like that soldier's got to have an eye for detail, we need the eye of faith in order to live by faith. Here's our instruction manual. That tomb of the unknown soldier, they got to memorize I don't know how many pieces of literature. What do we ought to memorize as soldiers for Christ? The Word of God. Let's close with this verse, Romans 1:5. We'll close and I'll pray. Romans chapter 1, verse number 5. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 5. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. We'll close with this verse right here. We represent the name of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. By whom we have received grace, referring to Jesus Christ, we receive grace by Jesus Christ, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. For what purpose? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. For the name of Jesus Christ, we ought to live a life of faith and obedience. Because we represent His name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness, mercy, and grace. Lord, I pray you'd help us all, dear God, Lord, to represent the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I prayed help, Lord. Lord, it's so easy today, dear God, myself included, dear God, to complain about things. Lord, this flesh, I despise my flesh, dear God. Oh, wretched man that I am, as Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, dear God? Lord, but I believe we're a country today, dear Lord, that loves just to complain and murmur. Yet of all countries in the world, Lord, we have it the best, I believe. God, help us to have a grateful and thankful heart, Lord. Lord, help us to, Lord, as we go out and about into this community and the surrounding area, Lord, help us to always remember that we have a uniform on and people are taking notice of our uniform, and that uniform is the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be good ambassadors, Lord. Help us to be ambassadors that are willing to serve. Help us to be ambassadors that are humble. Help us to be ambassadors to walk with you. Lord, that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise, and that this lost world would see a difference in us, dear God, and they'd ask us why we are the way we are. And Lord, now I ask you just help us through the rest of this day, Lord. Continue, I pray, Lord, to help Brother Glenn, Lord, or Brother Craig, Lord, help him with the issues he's got going on health-wise. Lord, strengthen him, encourage him, and be with Miss Kathy as well, Lord. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. Let's close with a hymn here this morning. You take your blue hymn book, and I want to sing page number, 1 second here. Oh, page number, page number 185. Page number 185. Can you play Jesus Paid It All, Ellie, or no? Page, huh? Let's go ahead and try it. I don't think we'll go super high in this song if you even go off a different key. Page number 185, if you're able to stand, Jesus Paid It All. Amen.
Thank you. Surrender our hearts and our pride, Lord, to the Lord. And, Lord, we are ambassadors of Christ, Lord. Mm-hmm. Let us play the part, Lord. Let us be the part, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, let us go out there and that others can see Jesus in us, mm-hmm. Lord, and how we ought to be, Lord. And, Lord, they should say that that's what we want, Lord. Lord, just help us, Lord. Help us go out there. Tell us about Christ, Lord. Bring them in, Lord. Show them what hope is and what freedom really is, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for these things, Lord.
Yes.
Give us safety as we leave, Lord. Give us safety as we come back tonight, Lord. And Lord, just let us have your fellowship. Lord, we thank you for these things, God. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Love your brethren dismissed. Lord, we'll see you tonight.
Amen.